Coming to you live from the Retroist Vault, Retro Radio Memories is on the air. Hello, friends. Thank you for taking the time to join us once again here on the Retro Radio Memories podcast. This week, we're going to be returning to the thrilling old-time radio shows that focus on horror and thrills in our month-long celebration of October. I am hoping that in a week or so, we might be able to coax my old co-host, the Projectionist from the Vault, to join me for an episode or two. Perhaps we can come up with some special Halloween episode. Well, our story today is entitled The Nameless Day, from The Hermit's Cave. I believe this is actually our first time sharing an episode from this popular series. The Hermit's Cave began broadcasting in 1930, starting life on WJR AM in Detroit, Michigan, but ultimately moving to KMPC AM in Los Angeles, California, where William Conrad acted as producer. Yes, that same William Conrad we've featured many times before on the show, from Gunsmoke to Suspense. From 1930 until 1940, in total, The Hermit's Cave ran for over 800 episodes. Yet, sadly, it is believed that only about 40 of them have survived. The titular host of the show was played by quite a few actors during the course of its run, such as John Kent, who originated the role, Charles Penman, Toby Grimmer, Clock Rider, Mel Johnson, and John Danner, who you might remember from just a couple of episodes back in Frontier Gentlemen. Our episode today, The Nameless Day, is about two men. Hardin Wilgen is a businessman, a greedy and miserly sort, the type that would wait until his friend, Stanley Creighton, perfects an air conditioning unit for cars, and then poisons him so that he doesn't have to share any of the profits from the invention. Now that might be the end of the story for most old-time radio shows, but this is The Hermit's Cave, and death is just the beginning for Creighton. So join us on Retro Radio Memories as we learn of the mystery behind The Nameless Day.
The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air.
Now, The Hermit.
Ghost stories. Weird stories. And murders, too. The Hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Ah. Have you heard the story, The Nameless Day? Then listen while the Hermit tells you the story.
Hardin Wilgen Company. One moment, please. Good afternoon, Hardin Wilgen Company. Mr. Wilgen is talking on another line. Will you wait, please? Good afternoon, Hardin Wilgen Company.
No. No, don't want any of it. Our advertising must pay for itself. I haven't any money to throw away on questionable charity. Goodwill be hanged. That doesn't put black ink in my ledger. No, tell them to peddle their magazine space somewhere else. I haven't any use for it. I didn't make my money to give it away. I have enough brains to make it. Let's hope I'll continue to have enough brains to keep it. Hello? Yes, Wills. Republic, 70,000 units, yes? American, 140,000 units. Standard, 95,000. That's grand, Wills. Huh? Well, never mind about that. You just bring in yours. I'll take care of filling them on time. Yeah? Yep. Right. 305,000 units in one day. I knew this invention would bring me a fortune. Over 3 million units the first year. Hardin Wilgen, a millionaire in 3 years. A millionaire. That's all that counts. A millionaire.
All right, there's the morgue. Pull up.
Right.
Hello, Alec.
Hello. What you got?
Another John Doe for you.
John Doe, huh?
Yeah.
All right, bring him in.
All right. You got that in, Bill?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Where's he from?
Out by Coleman Swamp.
Drowned?
Nope.
How then?
I don't know.
Coroner had a look at him?
Yeah. Performed an autopsy and still don't know how he died.
Here, put him on here and we'll wheel him in.
A little higher.
How come he's a John Doe?
Not a mark of identification on him.
Label's torn off his clothes, even the buttons ripped off. Murder, eh?
Looks like it. The question is, how?
Poison?
Coroner says not. Analysis showed no trace of poison.
Say, Alec, do we have to go back any farther with you?
Why?
I don't like this place.
Hey, you've been to the morgue enough times, Ford, not to bother you.
It always does. I want to get out into the fresh air.
Good thing my nose don't bother me. Well, okay, you can leave him here. I'll take care of him.
Coroner will be in tomorrow, Alec.
All right. I'll just check him in and wait for the coroner.
That's right.
Come on, let's get out of here.
John Doe. Always bothers me when they bring them in. When they're not identified, they end up in Potter's Field. Seems to me a feller's soul just don't rest right when he's buried in Potter's Field as John Doe. I suppose when the names are read off, he'll know which one to answer to, and it'll be all right. But until then, I just can't see how his soul could rest peaceful. Now, let's see now. You'll take number 9, please. There, John Doe, number 9.
John Doe, number 9.
What?
John Doe, number 9.
Who's talking? I must be hearing things. This place always did have strange echoes. Maybe the souls had got separated from their bodies too quick. I hope someone claims you, John Doe, number 9.
I, Stanley Creighton, now John Doe, number 9, destined for Potter's Field, to rest among the nameless. Hardin Wilgen saw to it that identification was impossible. Hardin Wilgen. I thought he was my friend. My friend. I know now that he never intended to share the proceeds of the invention with me. He was just waiting until I had it perfected. How was I to know when he handed me the drink that afternoon a month ago that it was the first step toward Potter's Field? It was in the little shack in Coldman Swamp where he'd gone for privacy. Wilgen said...
Nearly finished, Stanley?
Yes, Wilgen. And it's going to work this time. It's going to work.
Good.
What have you been doing in the kitchen?
Just mixing up a little celebration drink.
You chemists are always mixing up some new concoction.
Well, here, stop a moment and try it.
All right. Smell good while you were making it.
It is good.
Hmm. It is at that. What is it?
Made mostly of herbs that grow around the cabin here.
Swell. Now, hold your breath. I'm all ready to try the unit. You hook those two connections to the battery while I get the thermometer attached. X goes to the positive terminal. Where's that ammeter? I guess here it is. Ready?
Ready.
Connections tight?
As tight as the clamps will hold.
We're ready, then. I'll switch it on.
Motor's running perfectly.
Yes. Watch the thermometer. It's taking a nosedive already.
Down 15 degrees.
And look at the ammeter. The motor's drawing less than 3 amps of current.
The experiment is successful, then?
Of course it's successful. The unit will completely cool an automobile in less than half an hour and will keep it cool as long as needed. The motor draws less than 3 amps. That's less than a car radio.
The unit can be run off the car battery indefinitely?
Of course it can. All the battery needs is normal charging. Hardin, the Wilgen-Creighton unit is ready for the market.
The Wilgen unit. Let's drink on it.
Our fortunes are made. Wilgen, we're rich. Of course we'll drink on it. Bring on your witch's brew.
That's a good name for it, Stanley.
In case the motors we've planned and you won't hear a sound from it.
Here we are, Stanley. To riches and easy living.
To the successful marketing of the Wilgen-Creighton unit. And then, on to more inventions. Hey, you'll have to tell me how you make that drink. has a bitter taste that I like.
Yes, I'll tell you. Stanley, are you sure the unit is perfect?
Wilgen, I'd stake my life on its perfect performance.
That's a high stake.
That's how sure I am that it will do the work.
The next thing is to get the necessary patents.
You have all the papers, haven't you?
Yes.
Why don't we draw them up now?
Why not wait till the morning? We'll do that first thing.
All right. I feel a little sleepy.
Do you?
I think I'll turn in a few minutes.
Might be a good idea. I'm not very sleepy. I think I'll sit up a while.
That drink seems to have gone to my head.
In what way? How do you feel?
Very dizzy. My head feels very heavy.
Not as heavy as it will feel in a few more minutes.
What do you mean? Is it supposed to work that way?
Yes. It is supposed to work that way.
Why do you say it that way? Stare at me the way you do.
The witch's brew. That was a good name you gave the drink.
Don't you feel dizzy, too?
No. I didn't drink it.
Didn't drink it?
No. The witch's brew.
Why are you staring at me that way? Wilgen, you haven't...
Yes, I have. I've poisoned you.
You devil.
Try to get at me. Try to use your limbs.
I can't.
Your head's getting heavier.
Why did you do this?
Whose money is going to market this invention? Mine.
You wouldn't have anything to market but for me.
And whose solution are you using in the freezer?
I told you what mixture to use.
The Wilgen unit is going to make a fortune. The Wilgen unit, not the Wilgen Creighton unit.
Wilgen, don't do this. Give me an antidote.
There's no antidote known. I wouldn't if I could.
I'll go away. I won't lay any claim to the invention. For heaven's sake, don't kill me just to get it all for yourself.
You'll go away. I've made sure of that.
Wilgen, I can hardly see you. Give me an antidote. Save my life. You can't be so inhuman.
The poison is made from two common herbs that grow here in the swamp. It's been known for centuries. In 24 hours, there will be no trace of it left in your body. With all identification marks removed from your clothes, and no relatives to come sticking in their noses. That was convenient, Stanley, you not having any relatives. Go ahead, writhe. In a few moments, when the poison is ready to overpower the heart, you will jump like a jack-in-a-box. They will find your body in a swamp, Stanley, near a spot I know of where the ground is hard. Won't leave footprints. Kick. Go on, kick. This was the only sure way. This unit is going to make me a fortune, and I'm not going to share it. It's over. He's dead. No one will ever know who he is or how he died. life is going to be easy now. Riches, luxury. I'm safe. They'll never trace this to me. They won't know who he is. Got to get him out of here. Drag him outside, then see if I can lift him. Got to get out of here. Got to get out of here.
Got to get out of here. Got to get out of here. John Doe, number 9. Got to get out of here.
Making the rounds in the morgue at night. Never did. Somehow I like it less tonight. Too many echoes in this room tonight.
What was that?
Got to get out of here. Too many echoes of lost souls in the morgue. It's number 9. I swear, I saw his hand move. It is moving. It is. Head up and looked at me. Number 9 is getting up out of his coffin.
Got to get out of here.
Talking. I hear him playing. Help! Help! He's not moving. He's talking. Help! Help!
John Doe, number 9, got to get out of here. Got to get out of here. John Doe, number 9. Got to get out of here. John Doe.
A dead man gets up off the slab in the morgue and is now wandering through the city streets. Where is he going? What is he going to do? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Now, the hermit again.
John Doe, number 9, wanders through the streets. Those who pass don't realize they've seen a dead man walking by them. It is now mid-morning. The skies are overcast, and in the summer gloom, John Doe approaches a certain building. Listen.
Take me up, please. John Doe, number 9. Floor, please. Hardin Wilgen Company. The Hardin Wilgen Company. 18th floor. Hardin Wilgen Company is the third door to your right, sir.
I know. Third door to right.
What's the matter with that?
Hardin Wilgen Company. Just a moment. I'll have to look it up. I'll call you back in a few moments, Mr. Anders. Yes, sir. What did you wish?
Hardin Wilgen.
This is the Hardin Wilgen Company.
I want to see Hardin Wilgen.
Whom shall I say is calling?
John Doe.
What's this?
I am called John Doe. Mr. Wilgen knows me. He knows me.
What did you wish to see Mr. Wilgen about?
The Wilgen unit.
Just a moment, then. I'll call Mr. Wilgen and find out if he can see you. Mr. Wilgen or Mr. Doe... Wait a minute, sir. You can't go into his office yet. Oh, look. Look, there's that man. He walked right through the door. He didn't open the door. He walked right through it. Help! Someone come here and help! Oh, help. Everything's getting black.
Grace. Hello, hello. What's wrong with that girl? Who wants me, did you say?
John Doe, number 9.
What?
I want you, Wilgen. I, John Doe, number 9. You remember John Doe, number 9, don't you, Wilgen?
Stanley. Stanley Creighton.
I am John Doe, number 9.
For a moment, I thought you were Stanley Creighton. You look like Stanley Creighton.
John Doe now. Number 9.
How did you get in here? What do you want?
You. Hardin Wilgen. I want you.
Get out of here. Get out of my office. Who are you?
You know me, Wilgen. You remember the witch's brew?
Stanley.
You remember now.
Stanley Creighton is dead. You're an imposter.
No
get out.
Longer am I Stanley Creighton. You saw to that. I'm John Doe, number 9. My residence is the morgue. My resting place, a cold slab of marble.
Get out of my sight!
Look at my hands in the daylight, Wilgen. They're turning black. The blood is drained from my body.
Go stop!
Look. Look, Wilgen. See? Here is the long slash on my body. The autopsy revealed no poison. You were right. Your crime was clever. You reckoned with everything but me.
Get away!
It'll do you no good to call for help, Wilgen. You've come face to face with me. Your face is white hot now, too. Like mine. Your heart is burning with fear. Your time on Earth is almost drained away.
Harold!
Your mouth is dry and parched, Wilgen. You feel dizzy.
No.
Try to use your limbs. You can't.
I...
A glass of water sitting in front of you. You need water.
Yes.
Drink it, Wilgen, drink. It wasn't water, Wilgen. Poison.
What?
You hear me? Poison. You have drunk poison.
Help! Help! I'm choking. I can't breathe.
You'll speak no more. It's all over, Wilgen. You reckoned with everything but John Doe and death. I, John Doe, number 9. My work is done. John Doe, number 9. John Doe, number 9. John Doe, number
9. I found her just like this, Doc, lying on the floor.
She just fainted, that's all. She'll be all right in a moment.
I thought I heard someone call help. Sounded like it came from the Wiggins Company, so I ran in and found her lying on the floor. Then I ran down to your office, Doc.
Oh. Well, she's going to be all right. Take a drink of this, please.
Oh, help.
She was calling help.
Help.
That's what she's saying now.
Mr. Wilgen. Mr. Wilgen.
What about Mr. Wilgen?
A man. A man who said his name was John Doe. Walked right through the door. Walked through it. I saw him.
He what?
Don't you understand? He wasn't real. He vanished through the door into the office.
Is this Mr. Wilgen's private office?
Yes. He vanished through his door.
I guess I'd better find out from Mr. Wilgen what this is all about. Mr. Wilgen. Pardon me, Mr. Wilgen, but...
Wait. What's wrong here?
Come in here, quickly.
What's wrong, Doc? Oh.
Mr. Wilgen is... The man is dead.
Dead?
Dead.
The man. The strange-looking man. He walked through the door, came in here and killed Mr. Wilgen.
There are no wounds. Must have been his heart. I have never seen such a look on anyone's face before. He died in horror. Terrible horror.
I told you I can't stand this place, Alec. And it's worse at night.
You think I like it after all that's happened?
What are you bringing me back for?
I just gotta see. I gotta see.
You talk like a wild man.
I think I'm losing my mind. Here. We're going to look at him.
Who is it?
You remember. John Doe, number 9.
Yeah, I remember.
He's lying here quiet now. Like all the dead lie. Sometimes you think you can see him breathing.
Oh, cut it, Alec.
I heard him. I heard him speak. I saw him move last night. I saw it.
You know, you're plain nuts.
Is that so? Well, listen, you saw the evening paper, didn't you?
Sure, I saw it.
You read about Hardin Wilgen, didn't you?
Yeah, I read it. Died in his office today.
Sure he did. The coroner says it was just a case of heart attack. No signs of murder.
Yeah. Well, what are you talking about? They didn't bring the body of Hardin Wilgen to the morgue.
No. But you read about the girl in his office, didn't you? How she says a strange-looking fellow came in the Wilkin Company, said his name was John Doe, and how he walked right through the door. They say she was seeing things.
Well, what about it?
And listen, you know what I think? It was this John Doe, him, lying here. He walked into that office.
Alec, you are crazy.
Crazy, am I?
Dead bodies lying in morgues. Well, they don't get up and walk out in the streets.
You don't think they do. No one thinks so. But me, I think so. Now I do. I tell you, I saw this John Doe, number 9, move on the slab last night. I heard him speak. I've always said a man buried as John Doe didn't rest easy in his grave.
I want to get out of here.
This one didn't rest easy. even before we put him in the potter's field. It's like he really didn't die at all. And look at him now, lying here, quiet. Quiet and somehow peaceful. You know, he even looks different than he did last night. Sort of like he had gone to sleep in death.
Even scores with Hardin Wilgum. 10 on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
Does anyone else think that the Hermit really influenced the Projectionist? I'm not sure if he heard the show when he was younger or what. Well, what did you think of the Hermit's Cave? I thought there was some nice work on that script. The mental images of Stanley reacting to the poison, or Witch's Brew in particular, with the way that Wilgen was describing the process of Creighton dying. Ugh. Also, am I the only one that thinks that we really needed a John Doe No. 9 spinoff series? A horror noir show where he would bring justice to those that suffered a fate similar to his own? I guess a little like DC Comics' Dead Man. Or am I just overthinking all of this? And friends, I think that about wraps up this show. I hope you remember that you can listen to the Retro Radio Memories podcast almost every Sunday over at The Retroist. The podcast is available on iTunes, and I would really appreciate it if you could hop on over there and give us a rating if you liked the show. It helps to get the word out about our love of old-time radio. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. The music that we use at the beginning and ending of our show was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you may contact him by email at peachy@retroist.com. A big thanks to the Retroist is in order, of course. When you need your daily retro fix, just hop on over to the Retroist at www.retroist.com. Until next time, the Retro Radio Memories Podcast is off the air.
I'm serious. I need your help on a mission of vengeance. Now, don't be alarmed, but I'm not Superman. I'm
a ghost inhabiting his body. Is that you, Boston?
Hiya, Bats. When I'm working, people call me Dead Man.
This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.